education.
Generations would prosper with the right location of the burial. Certain configurations of mountains, hills, valleys, rivers were considered fortunate, some were considered unfortunate. Today, a feng shui that is used to determine house sites as well as placement of furnishings that we talk about also. So, the mountain armchair is the best way to envision the perfect feng shui location for a home. It's protected in the back by a mountain. Not mine. The ideal location is if you're protected on the back of the mountain, and on each side you have a hill, and you're gently sloping around the sea, the grazing on the sea, and you're overlooking a body of water, whether it's a river or an ocean. That is your ideal location for a feng shui house. So you're protected in the back, you see clearly in front, you're protected on the arms. So armchair is the one way that we always use to describe it. Once the house site was selected in the old times, that flying stars chart was used that we talked about. The flying stars chart incorporated your birth date. And if any of you guys know about the Chinese calendar, your birth date changes every year.
So it wasn't really the best way to go about determining the location of.
Today, we take feng shui. Usually you're going to get a request for feng shui after somebody's moved into a home, the house has already been built, they're looking for help in using it. The traditional site selections are nearly impossible today to use it because we can't use the compass correctly. If you walk around the house, you're going to get different readings. We have power lines. You know, we have microwave ovens going off. You know, it's just not, it doesn't make sense. It's not nearly impossible to use that today. So today, we practice feng shui differently. In my day, there are a lot of different levels of ways. There are a lot of different levels of ways that people practice feng shui today. The goal remains the same. No matter how you practice feng shui, the goal will always be to achieve a harmonious, balanced environment for success in life. You will hear Western feng shui, contemporary feng shui, black cat feng shui. It's all the same thing. As feng shui moves west, there is a certain sect that cut off here called black cat, which also, like they call it, contemporary Western now. Anyway, what we do with contemporary feng shui is use the philosophies of the traditional feng shui to be corrected, to improve the energy, comfort, and success. It takes a systematic look at the house and identifies the most problematic areas to address. And then we use items. In traditional feng shui, you wouldn't use these items. In contemporary feng shui, we do. We will use mirrors, crystals, and moon chimes and other man-made items to address or enhance the area. A word of warning here, though. The best thing you can take away from this light is address the most problematic areas first. Because what a lot of people, when they start getting involved in feng shui, they'll try to fix everything at one time, and that actually is more harmful because you create a lot more chaos than you do enhancement. Qi, how many of you have heard Qi? Yeah, that's pretty common. Okay. Qi is referred to as the energy when we're talking feng shui. It's the natural life force present in anything. When you think of energy or qi when we're talking feng shui, think of it like water. It's going to meander. It's going to be flowing. When it's going downhill, it's going to be stronger, and you can direct it in a certain fashion. Shai qi is negative energy or harmful energy. In a house or a property, it could be blocked energy, constricted energy, improperly directed energy. Or it might just be too much energy coming at you. It's also harmful.
Mm-hmm.
Question left. Yin and Yang. Everyone knows Yin and Yang, right? Probably the most recognizable symbol in the feng shui. We use it today to describe opposites. I use it to describe me and my husband, you know, Yin and Yang. And it really is, in fact, based on that theory. Yin and Yang is black and white solutions, which one dot of each other is represented in each section. They are opposite states of energy, constantly in motion. One cannot exist without the other, and they must always be in balance. The black is yin, is associated with feminine traits, and the white, which is the yang, is associated with the masculine traits. So when you look at characteristics of yin and yang, you'll see that the yin represents passive principles of nature, therefore it's important. Sorry, I didn't do this, but it's more feminine. That's the way it is. And then yang represents the active principles of nature. You see how they have opposites. But what I want to point out to you, because when you get into real estate and staging, are the colors. it for a yin impact, you're going to have healing and calm colors, the blue and the green, and maybe some other colors in there. On the yang, the masculine side of it, you're going to have more dominant colors, more forceful colors. You're going to have red, you know, gold, and yellow. The five elements.
Carol, can you go to the microphone?
I'm sorry, yes.
It's not that I'm old and deaf. All the stuff.
Oh, okay. And you, Carol, Karen, is y'all are going to have this posted on the website too, so you have that presentation later. Yay. Because it is a lot to cover in half an hour. The five elements create or enhance one another. In home staging or home decorating, the five elements are the most critical part of feng shui that we use. But as you can see, if you go, water produces wood, wood produces fire, fire produces earth produces metal, metal produces water. And that's the cycle. So it can enhance or create one another. But the trick is, each of these five elements can also destroy one another. So if you look at it this way, where metal chops wood, earth blocks water, fire melts metal, the wood actually is a burden on the earth, you know, it stresses the earth. So the trick always in using these five elements is to make sure they're constantly balanced. Which you'll hear that over and over again in feng shui. It's balance and harmony. Each of the five elements are representative of a particular emotion that they evoke, and by colors used to represent the colors, or to represent the elements. For instance, fire, the emotions that they evoke are passion and high energy, so you're going to use the colors that are red, orange, purple, pink, and bold, bright yellows, like a cornflower yellow, not so much a pastel. And the earth is nourishment and stability, which makes sense. You can use a lot of beiges and the earthy sand colors and some pastel light or yellows. Metal represents clarity and preciseness. So you would use gray, white, any metallic colors is representative of the metal element. And then water represents ease, freshness, and abundance in feng shui. Water is related to prosperity and abundance. Blue and black are the colors that represent water. And then wood represents health and vitality. If you think of a tree as growing upright and big and bold, so that's the wood element with dark browns and greens. Shapes and materials. When we talk about the five elements, they enhance, they can destroy one another. Their colors represent them, but in addition to that, there are certain materials that represent each element and certain shapes that represent each element. So the fire element, obviously candles, fires, woodworks, anything of that nature, are the natural elements that represent them. And then triangular is the shape that would represent the fire element in a room. If you had an accessory, a piece of artwork, even some furnishings that are shaped in a triangular form. The earth, obviously think of earth. There's clay, brick, ceramic, mud, cement, terracotta objects, pottery, think those types of things. When you're representing the earth element in a room, the shape is square or rectangular, like a brick. That helps me remember that for the shape. Metal, when you represent metal in a room, any artwork, picture frames, accessories, a lot of lamps now are made with metal element. The shape will be round or oval to represent the metal element. Water, fountains, fish tanks are a great way to represent water in a room. Ponds, swimming pools, mirrors. And the shape is wavy, like water. If you think of a river or a shoreline, it's going to be wavy. The wood element is obviously wood or anything that is produced out of wood pulp. So you have wood and plants, you have cardboard, paper, composite woods, the stuff that we use in our furniture. The shape is rectangular, upright and tall. It doesn't have to be a tree, but think of anything that grows upright. It could be a column in your house. It could be vertical stripes used above your bed as a headboard. All of that represents the wood element. The Bagua, there's another thing I was going to say, Bagua, is really a map of energetic influences. There's eight areas of influences or characteristics, and unlike what we're used to seeing here in the Western Hemisphere, the north is on this, when you look at this map, north is down here. So you gotta get used to that. And one way to remember that is that heat rises, so that helps you remember that the south is up high, so that's helpful. But each area you move around on the north is represented by an area of influence in our lives. So you have career and knowledge on ECF family and health. Well, we're going to go through this in a simpler format, but this is the traditional Bible that you would see if you've ever seen a Bible mirror hung in this shape. That is what it is. The Tai Chi in the middle, everything is centered around you. You represent the middle of your life. The use of Bagua in contemporary feng shui, we don't use the compass for the reasons we talked about a bit earlier, but what we use to establish direction is our front door, typically, or the architecturally designed front door, your primary entrance to your house is what we use to establish direction with contemporary feng shui using the Bagua. You also hear the front door referred to as the mouth of qi, which is the main entrance to your house. It's very important that that is clean, operating properly, not obstructed, to make the whole house feel healthier. So, the Bagua, and I'll show you the next chart, think of it as a blanket that's going over the house. It could be laid over a lot that you might be building on to take a look at the different elements or areas of influence. It can be applied to individual rooms as well. So what you would do, and here is the Bagua simplified, that I prefer. What you would do is, north is your front door. This is where you lay this blanket across your house, okay? Or your lot, or your bedroom, if you're standing at the bedroom door. So your north is representing your career. The element is water. The color is black. The south side is representing fame and reputation. The colors are red and orange. It's fire. This does not mean you paint the rooms. Black, red, blue, green. That happens sometimes. You don't do that, though. And also, when you look at these are guides. And with these definitive lines don't apply in your life in your house. They're blurred. So you've got to give and take. Also, our houses are no longer built square or rectangular. So when you apply the Bagua, you have to realize there's going to be some missing areas. There's going to be some extensions if you have anything built out ahead or in front of your front door. So you have to be practical in using this in today's world. And sometimes you might have a missing area, and the best thing you can do is make enhancements using the five elements. Because if there's a missing area, there's a missing area. So you have to, modern feng shui is really a lot of trade-offs, using all of what you know. It may not be perfect, but, you know, we have a highly dense house thinking. Our houses aren't square. And there's a lot of things that you have to be practical in applying it also. So here, what we did real quickly there, and I did do it quickly, but we'll get some Q&A afterward, is the history of feng shui, the key principles of feng shui. Your qi is your energy. Your shui qi is your negative energy. You're going to have yin and yang, which is harmony and balance, which applies to the five elements, and then the use of the Bagua. So what does that mean to all of you? Is we're going to go back to the role of mountains and rivers and how y'all can use them as a real estate professional. We'll talk about natural man-made landscapes because there are a lot of man-made items we can use to create that armchair effect because we all don't have a mountain in our backyard. We don't have trees on each side of our house. And we will also go through, as I said earlier, some real-life scenarios and some solutions that you all may be able to help your clients out with. The armchair. If you look at this, think about a house, right? You're listing. But also, when you go into a room, how's the furniture placed? Because you're going to use this armchair to properly place furniture in the house as well. Okay? Again, you're going to have a high mountain in the back. You're going to be supported and protected. This is why in feng shui, it's a terrible no-no to put a bed underneath a window. You have no protection. You know, the theory is all the cheese running in and out that window. You can't sleep at night. You're not protected. So this comes into play also when you set furniture up in the home. Natural and man-made landscapes. Natural, obviously, are the mountains we've spoken about. The hills, the rivers, the lakes, the ocean, even trees and flower gardens that we can do. Rocks and boulders. We'll talk about using boulders on sloping the earth. But man-made, we can use buildings. If you're in an urban setting, you guys are selling a condo uptown, you know, your mountain includes that building beside you, behind you, and beside you. Okay, so you have to take that into consideration when you're in an urban environment. Stone walls, lights, we can use lighting for a lot today to actually affect the same result. Fountains, wind chimes, flags, gardens, and roses, rivers, because in today's developments, we don't have meandering rivers in front of us, but we have roads in front of us. So you can incorporate that into the total picture to create the armchair effect.
This is a house in Mountain Island Lake that I did a consultation for. And the problem is that it's way above the road. The real life problem for you and your clients are they're looking at the slope lot or the driveway and not necessarily looking at the house. Well, in feng shui, that means qi can't make it up to the house. It can't get any good energy up there. So what you would do to attract qi would also take your client's eyes off of the sloped driveway and back toward the house. It is install a bright light at the top. If you don't have a gas light would work. If you have a porch light, use the brightest light you can put in that to draw the energy in the eye away from the lot sloping. And you want to create movement to a house that will attract energy that will also attract the human eye. So if you can hang a wind chime up near the front door, if you want to place a fountain near the front door, moving water is always a good thing. Or if you, in this case, if you hung a flag by the front door, it creates movement. Warning, if you hang a flag up, make sure it's new and the colors are bright, because native flags don't have the same effect, tattered flags. Now, the opposite is, the house sits below street level, and I did a consultation over in Belmont, Reflection Point actually, and I couldn't find that particular picture, but when the house sits below street level, you have the opposite effect, where qi flowing downhill can be very negative, because it puts a beam, and it's going to blow right past that house. Is the theory, okay? It's really difficult for good energy to reach that house. So some of the solutions you would look at for a buyer or someone who's maybe thinking about your client considering purchasing a home is to place, unlike the homeowner, put a bright light up on top of the hill. We're going to put a bright light up at the top of the hill by the driveway now because we're going to slow the energy down instead of attract it, okay? That's a gas light or whatever they need to put up there. Accent lighting on the house. Accent lighting from the ground up will draw the chi or the energy up. So that takes the eyes. I'm trying to relate the ethereal part of feng shui to reality, what you all think. In feng shui, it brings the energy up with the light coming up. In reality, it brings your eyes up too. So again, you're not focusing on that downward slope. If the house is lit up, your eyes are going up with the light. If you have a driveway that comes down, and maybe a side entry garage, and that driveway stops and the yard continues to slope, you need to put something there to stop the energy or the negative energy from flowing down. So in staging, a lot of times I'll buy decorative urns with the evergreens and put there. If you're buying a home, you can actually plant the evergreens there and have the same effect. Boulders. And Don, we had a situation not too long ago with this big slope yard, and the only thing that told her was you need to put a boulder there. Boulders where the yard starts sloping down are a great way to both visually and in feng shui terms stop that energy from just rolling down through the house and smacking into the walls. It's a large tree on the side. If you have a home that's sloping down and there's not a lot of trees around, if you think of the armchair and they have the two slopes on each side, an easy way to fix that is to purchase and plant a large tree that is equal to the side of the roof line. So you're creating that support on each side of the house. Installing a weather vane or a rotating exhaust fan on top of the house is a great way to create movement also, bring energy up from the rolling down the hill. And if someone's actually purchasing the house, a good idea is also to fence in the backyard so you actually capture that energy. It's not going to cast you, you're actually capturing that. Now, if you're selling a house, I don't want to tell somebody to do that, but for someone who's considering purchasing the house, that's a good thing to do. The freebie, I know a lot of you guys do the condos and townhomes. Uptown. One of the biggest problems that I'm asked about anyway is that they're kind of dull and dreary because you're not getting enough natural light in them. And we all know how important NLS pictures are. This one's not a great one. So, several solutions for this is to enhance the lack of natural light solutions is simply to use the highest watt bulbs you possibly can in every fixture. Paint the walls bright light colors. Don't confuse that with bold colors. But bright light colors. And let me give you a tip too in small areas. When you have a monochrome color scheme, your furniture is beige, the walls are beige, the rooms actually look larger. So keep that in mind too in townhomes and condos. If possible, if there's dark cabinets and trim, paint those. Paint those light too. You want to get rid of anything that's too subtractive in color. You can bring in the colors with the accent pieces and the pillows and the throws of the five elements that we talked about. If possible, in a townhome or condo, you want to get rid of oversized furniture. Everything has to be specially balanced also. That's not always possible, and I understand that. So it's a good idea to remove select pieces if you can as well. And of course, all blinds should be open for showings, only if the windows are clean. Okay? People kind of miss that sometimes. In feng shui terms, a clean window or a dirty window is equated to confusion or a muddled mind. You can't think clearly because the windows are, you can't see out the windows. So that's feng shui, and in practical terms, you all need to do that if you're listening to it. Okay, problem four. We say in staging, you can't sell it, you can't see it. So if there's a tree or a plant directly in front of the front door, we talked about the mountain sheep, any positive energy going into that house is gone. I mean, you can't get there. It's blocked. It's obstructed. So you might look at it and say, gosh, that looks sloppy and nasty, but if feng shui says it's really bad with anything interfering with the mountain sheep. So solutions obviously would be to remove trees and plants. Some enhancements you make to the front doors by placing live potted plants on each side of the door. Make sure you have a clean doormat in front of the door. Make sure the door is clean, the windows on the door are clean. Make sure the doorbell works, the light fixture works, the porch light not broken. All that's really important because in feng shui terminology, this is critical because if you get a bad impression, and in reality, for y'all too, bad impression at the front door, they're not going to feel real good about what's inside the house anyway. So this is very critical. Also, overhanging branches, cracked concrete, if the railing's a little loose, all of that stuff also interferes with positive energy in feng shui, so all those things would need to be repaired from a feng shui perspective and from a practical real estate perspective. This is a problem that I see a lot. Problem number five, and these are in no particular order, as y'all can tell, is when you open a front door, and a lot of them still in the 70s, 80s, and even into the 90s, you open the front door and you're welcomed by a staircase. That's very bad energy. There's two theories. One, you open the front door and the energy runs up the steps and your main level is left with nothing. And conversely, you open the front door and all the energy runs out the front door. Either way is bad by feng shui terms. Some solution, and you don't do all of these, one or two of these are going to solve your problem. If you hang a crystal chandelier in the foyer, the light refresh from the crystal will help catch the energy and disperse it on the main level so it's not all running up or down. If possible, and if the foyer allows size-wise, if you hang a mirror on the sidewall to help catch the attention of the energy as it comes through, it'll actually help that. You never want to hang it, though, like in line with the door. You don't want a mirror in line with your door. That'll backfire on you. A live plant, or a silk plant if you have to. In staging, it's hard to use live plants because they die if you're not watering them. But you never want to use dry flowers. Dry flowers, eucalyptus, those things you see, they're dead. Dead equals negative energy in some way. So never use dry flowers. Silk plants are acceptable if you have to. But if you put a live plant or a silk plant at the side, at the foot of the steps for implementing, that will be very helpful in slowing the chi down, catching it. If the staircase is open, it's a great place underneath the stairs to put some live plants. Again, if the wall space permits, any prints with red, artwork with red, is very helpful because it attracts the energy. You know, it's a hot color, and it'll slow that down as well. And room permitting, and this is typically, I would use this in like a secondary stairwell in the back of the house or in the kitchen area. If you place a basket at the foot of the stairs, the theory is it would help catch the chi that's running down also. So if you place a basket with a few magazines at the foot of the back steps. I wouldn't recommend that in the front hallway, but it's an option. Problem six, and I live on cul-de-sac. We think that's a good thing. Feng shui says it's not such a good thing because the lack of traffic and the lack of noise and the lack of activity also signals the lack of energy. So if you have a home on a cul-de-sac, solutions to attract chi to the house are similar to what we talked about in the other cases. Any movement you can create by the front door to attract chi to, you know, coming in and out of the cul-de-sac is the wind chime, a flagpole or banner in the yard, which I've seen used several times, a water fountain near the front door, and even a water garden. A water garden can be incorporated into any kind of bedding in the front of the house on a cul-de-sac. That's extremely helpful in feng shui terms. Likewise, houses at a T intersection, they get way too much energy coming in. Too much energy is negative energy because they have everything coming at that from that street across from them at the front door. So you would want to protect that house with flowers and plants on each side and a wind chime also. Some people go so far as to hang a bottle mirror there. I haven't done that yet, but some people do do that. Problem 7, furniture arrangement, blocking movement. I always tell people, if you can't walk around the space, the energy's not going anywhere either. But she's having a hard time with that also. So when we talk about facing furniture in feng shui terms, you never want to put a sofa at the foot of a step. If you have a stairwell coming down, don't put a chair or a sofa there, because you have that energy coming down and hitting the back of the chair. It's very negative. So anybody sitting on that chair can be harmed by that. They're not going to have a good day. Place yourself in a command position. I want to talk to you guys about command position, because on a recent occasion, I had a friend of mine who's an interior decorator come with me, and she looked at me like I was from Mars when I told her about the command position. The command position is really important in any room. It's typically, it'll be against a solid wall, but not always. Usually it's going to be across from the main entrance into the room. Not always, but usually. The commanding view. Find that spot in the room that has the commanding view. So if someone's sitting in that spot, they can see anybody coming and going. That's the command view. That's where you want to place a bed in your master suite. Okay? So keep those things in mind. Command view is really important in furniture placement. Usually you put your largest piece of furniture in that command position. And I will tell you guys, when I'm staging, big TVs oftentimes are in command positions, and that's not where they should be. So that's a real practical problem that we have when staging a house, too, because some people just don't want to do that TV. But command position is important. You build around the command position. Once you locate that, you put your biggest piece of furniture in there, and then you build from there. Dining chairs, formal dining rooms, or even in the kitchenette, you really don't want the back of your chair. When you walk into a room, you don't want to see the back of that chair there, much for the same reason. So when you're arranging furniture in a formal dining room or a kitchen area, keep that in mind. It's very much like the sofa in front of the stairwell. Secret arrows. They're also called poison arrows if you ever read on feng shui. These are objects that actually point at or into your living space. These are probably things that you all never even thought of, but I'm sure that you will now. They can be interior or exterior. On the bottom left, I put an example of maybe there's a bay window, and you have corners coming in from each bay window that point into the room. So that's considered an arrow. We create that sometimes, too. If you angle your sofa table in the corner and you hit it with your thigh and it hurts, you're experiencing a poison arrow. You're actually creating, you're actually creating those pointy objects that can be harmful to you. If you ever hit your shin on the edge of your bed frame that doesn't have a footboard, it's the same kind of theory. The one on the graph on the lower right is an example of if you had a house and then the lower is the detached garage at an angle, you can see that the corner of the garage is pointing into the house. That would be considered a poison arrow also, and you would want to plant shrubs there. The easiest way to solve these issues are live plants, if you have a poison arrow coming out. And if you think about it, some houses where the ductwork is actually enclosed and you have those little blocks here and there, but think about that too. If you have a bay window, a really easy way to fix it is to just hang the curtains, extend the curtains out a couple inches, and it will cover that edge from a bay window. And decorative screens are a very easy way to take care of those as well. Problem 9, which Karen told me is really problem number 1, is clutter. Clutter is eating away at equity and keeping offers away. Clutter is both cause and symptom of stuck energy, and in feng shui terms, it's a very serious problem because it is indicative of stuck energy not only in the space but in the person. So the feng shui philosophy is, and I'm going to venture to guess that you all experience this too, is if there's a home that looks like this room, there's some other issues going on there, and you have to be very careful and very delicate in getting the client to go ahead and start decluttering. You have to take it very carefully. And you'll uncover some other issues when you start doing that. But the theory is just take it room by room and help them. So in feng shui terms, any clutter has to be taken away. Because if it's not useful and if it's not purposeful, it doesn't belong there. Personal space is only to be shared with things that are useful and beautiful. Remove everything that doesn't have a purpose in the room. And remaining items need to be working for you. When we talk about the elements, what does that mean? What does it imply? Take it one at a time and donate, reuse, recycle. And for what it's worth, feng shui says if you wear red, you'll be more motivated when you're decluttering. How is that a color? The house on the lower right, I think I visited once. It's a kaleidoscope house. As we talked about earlier, the colors represent, they evoke certain emotions and they imply certain meanings. So when you're picking colors, it's kind of different when you're living in a house and selling it. But feng shui colors typically would base their personal blah. When we talked about that, the blah I showed earlier, and they pick those colors. My bedroom's in the back of the house, so I'm going to paint it red. That doesn't really work. It doesn't work when you live there, and it's not going to work when you sell the house. This is not really feng shui, but this is what I'm just going to tell you guys from the staging perspective. Selecting colors when selling a property is the exterior color should match or enhance the house's height. You know, is it a craftsman house? Is it a traditional? Is it a Georgetown colonial? That's what will determine the color for your exterior. Interior, we're talking about neutralizing it. That doesn't mean boring. There are like thousands of really cool and neutral colors out there now. The 60-30-10 rule, in any room, 60% of the room should be a particular color. That's your aim for you. 30% will be accessorizing. That might be your furnishing. If the wall's beige and your furniture is blue. And then 10% is like the jewelry that you're going to add on as a lipstick. That's going to be your sizzle. It might be your accessories and your artwork. So no more than 3 or 4 colors in an entire house. But that doesn't mean that the colors can't shift. So if you have shades of beiges and shades of brown, it's still brown. So I don't even get too wrapped around that. But in your green, there's a lot of different colors of green. As long as you don't go from polar opposites of this color spectrum, you can have varying shades of color in the house. Color meanings, this is feng shui right here. When you're accessorizing and picking decor for your house, the colors you use represent something that we talked about earlier. So if you're going to use red accessories, they evoke energy, strength, success. Pink is romance, no surprise. Purple represents success and wealth. Yellow is health and happiness. Brown, stability, contemplation. White is purity. Black is wisdom. Green, health, prosperity, and growth, just like the wood element. Blue is intuition and tranquility, and then that's supposed to be metallic. I couldn't find a real metallic color to show up on my screen here. But metallic colors do represent money when you're talking about accessories. So, real life solutions are problems in the kitchens. If you have a cooktop and a sink that are almost the size of the walls, in feng shui terms, you have fire and water competing here. An easy solution is to put some wood elements in between those two surfaces. That's a green kitchen towel hanging on the front of the stove. It's a green rug on the floor, so live plants. If you have a cooking area that faces a wall and your back, the cook's back is 2 people coming into the room, that's a negative in feng shui. They recommend hanging a mirror above the stove, which I never really recommended, but you can use reflective surfaces like a copper pot or kettle so the person who is cooking can see behind them and be protected. This is an example. This is a really cool picture I found because it actually did both. The cooking surface does have your cook's back would be to the area, so they put a copper plate there or a silver plate there and the tea kettle. And then they also, because the sink and the stove are up the size of the wall, they lay the green and red rugs down. I probably put a live plant there too on the countertops. A curved sidewalk or a winding sidewalk is preferred to a straight sidewalk. We talked about the water that meanders. An inexpensive way to create the same impact is landscaping. If you see the picture on the left, the picture on the right, just for bringing in the boulder and curving flower beds, you have totally different effects. So you don't have the linear straight lines. You have a more attractive flowing entrance to the front. All right, general tips. If you can't move around the house, you can the energy. Bathrooms, they're a good thing. We all agree. In the old days, in ancient China, it was very bad. They viewed that as your fortunes being flushed down. So that's why feng shui, you want to keep the bathroom door shut. You want to keep the toilet down. You want to make sure that the space is clean all the time. Lucky bamboo actually absorbs moisture. So it's a great plant to use in a bathroom to absorb the moisture and the stagnant air. But really, any live plant in the bathroom or kitchen is a good thing. Slanted ceilings and exposed beams. If y'all do a lot of work in Dilworth and that area, and everyone took those attics and made them bedrooms and stuff, both slanted ceilings and exposed beams are negative in feng shui terms. They're viewed as oppressive. So you try to avoid placing furniture underneath those at all costs. If you have to put that underneath the slope ceiling, hang some fabric, make a canopy. You know, so it doesn't look like the slope ceiling here. But you really want to try to avoid that. Ceiling beams, the copper ceiling is less an issue because they're evenly spaced. So you don't have just that one beam bearing down on your feng shui terms. Special attention to these areas when you all are looking at placing furniture, helping your clients place the furniture, the focal point. What is the focal point when you walk into the room? If there's one there, that's great. You have a beautiful picture window. You have a fireplace or somewhere for guys to go. If you don't, you can always create the colorful artwork, a cool piece of furniture. You can create one too. But the focal point is a key area, and the area of the command view of the room. You have to start to see all. Those are two critical things when you're helping set a house with yourself. That's what I had. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer it. But here is some referrals for you, or some sources for y'all too. I want you guys to have that too, so if you want to read up on feng shui. So, any questions?
You said this would be on the website?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yes.
Question is, what about the bed facing the, when you walk into the bedroom, the foot of the bed facing the door?
Yeah, that's the coffin position.
Right.
you don't want to, I don't know what room, if you have a particular room in the bedroom.
With the foot of the bed facing the door.
Yeah, you don't really want to do the feng shui terms because that's considered the coffin or death position because that's how people let people out, right? You want to find, it can be, look across the room from the door when you walk into the door. Well, is there a space across the room that's not directly in front of it? Could you move the bed to the left or right? Could you angle the bed? Angling the bed is fine as long as you have something behind it, usually enough light, a lamp behind it. To anchor the bed at this angle. But you don't want to have, if you absolutely can't avoid it, it's a good opportunity. That's when you would want to put a bench and a couple pillows or a settee at the foot of the bed. But you try to avoid that always.
Okay. And one more quick thing. A sectional sofa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got a sectional sofa, and it's kind of, should you break the sofa down?
Well, it depends on the room. I mean,
well, it's like it can accommodate a sectional sofa, but it's kind of impersonable when you're setting. Command post is taken away.
Yeah, well, but it doesn't have to be, though. Because the command view, your sofa could be one part of that sectional could be on the command view, right?
Mm-hmm.
On the command. So it's not so. It depends on the size of the room. You want to have 36 inches, 3 feet to clear around that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the room can accommodate that, and one side of that sectional is up against the command view, you're fine, as long as there's clearance around it, and you can move around it. Yes, ma'am.
I have three questions. Pretty precise, so you can move along quickly. In relationship to your stairway when you walk in, many homes use the stairway as a dramatic effect, particularly the larger estate homes. You know, you walk in and you have that big sweeping staircase in front of you. If there is an entryway and the rooms open up in front of the staircase, it's not right. I mean, it's in front of the door. It's a focal point. But there is space in between that fans out. Is that bad feng shui? Does the energy still go up the steps?
8 to 10 feet is the rule. If those stairwells are within 8 feet of the front door, yeah, that's the rule. So, but if they have a crystal chandelier hanging, a lot of those estate homes do.
Well, they oftentimes, like if the stairs go up a curve, and most of them do, they're wide at the bottom, then
right,
they'll curve up,
yeah.
You know, one way or the other. And usually, like there's a chandelier hanging.
Right.
As
long as it's crystal and not metal, that all operates, you know.
What if it's metal?
It's feng shui terms, it doesn't have the same effect. You really want the crystals catching the light or the energy and dispersing it.
Second question, as I said, there were three, so quick ones. I have heard that putting a plant next to the bed, right next to the bed, is very bad feng shui.
A plant?
I don't know, I'm asking you. I was told by someone that a plant right next to the headboard, you know, instead of like a night table on either side, that there should be night tables on either side to create a balance.
Right.
That a plant and a table is not good. That's bad.
Yeah, that's correct in feng shui terms.
Okay.
In reality, you know, but in feng shui, yeah, you want that armchair press, you want the two nightstands.
Balance on
the
headboard. Okay, third question. Homes built on the diagonal.
Yes.
Is there any effect to that? Because sometimes they don't face necessarily the street. They are built on a diagonal. And I've seen a few that are built on like a diagonal where the doorway comes in an angle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you drive up maybe the driveway, but the home itself is sort of facing on a diagonal. A lot of the lake homes do that because they want to put the house is positioned to look at the lake, not necessarily the road.
Good point. I like that. I meant to mention that earlier when we talked about houses on sloping lots. You still have to use the feng shui cures on the front of that house, which would be probably, I don't know how the landscaping is on that house, but I would use landscaping and curves to get to that front door. Then you want to treat the back of that house as the facing of that house, because when you look at the back of that house, you got water in front of it, you got the yard behind you. So really, a lot of those lake homes, the back house is facing. Really the facing direction.
Okay, but the front door is always north. That's your north.
Yes, that's true. That's true. So you still have to use the feng shui cures to correct as much as you can. And then if you have those planted houses, look for those poison arrows too, because you're going to have to put some shrubs and landscaping in.
Thank you.
When you have a grid showing the front door is white and you have the nature and you have the different colors, you say you don't always paint the room or the part of the house those colors, what do you do to connect career with your front door or whatever it was?
What you want to do is balance, as we talked about. The bagua is like a blanket front of your house and it's a rule of thumb, but a lot of times today, it's very hard to actually stick by the rules because you're not even using the bagua. So that's when you go to the five elements and say, how can I balance this area? And this is not really practical to do that. So my recommendation really would be to use the bagua when you're setting up a room, you know, to take a look at your master bedroom. You know, look at the romance area. If you have a home office, look at the back left corner, that's your love. You know, take it into a practical approach, you know, for each room in the house. And then I would use the elements. If you had a decorative bowl, it's earth because it's watery. So maybe it's red, so it's fire. And you put rosestones in it, now you've got water. I mean, you can actually pull all the five elements in one accessory. So I would really encourage you to take a look at the five elements, more so than the Bible, when you're looking at helping out a client or doing your own house.
Okay.
In a vaulted ceiling, it's just like a sloped ceiling. You want to put your bed on the largest wall, on the solid wall, if at all possible. You don't want to put the bed directly underneath the lowest part of the ceiling meets the wall. You don't want to put your bed or any seating arrangements over there. Okay, you use that area for storage, for benches, for dressers that they fit, but you don't put any furniture there that you sleep on or sit on. Yes?
How about the mirror at the entrance? Do you put it behind the door, or how do you put it? Because, like, you're looking, you're coming inside the house, right? You open the door and the stairs comes right here.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you place the mirror?
I would say if there's a sidewall, you can put a mirror on the sidewall. Well, I don't know where the stairs are.
That's what I was asking. At the size of the stairs coming down?
No, I would put on it. If you had a solid stairwell, like you're walking in the stairs to the left, I'm just guessing. If you have room to put a mirror on the right wall there, that would be good. Like put a mirror with a little console table and some right accessories.
So coming down the stairs, put it right here?
Sure. Yeah. No, it depends on which are you talking about there's open on both sides of the stairs?
No, it's only open on one side.
Okay, so the opposite wall of the stairwell is where you want to take it. Okay? The opposite wall of the stairwell, not the same one. Okay. Yes, sir.
Sometimes builders and architects will build something to a home that makes it weird. For example, how can feng shui be used to offset a toilet or a half bath to the kitchen?
Yeah, that's a really good question because that doesn't make sense. It's in the kitchen? You want to always make sure to keep the door closed. And the solution is to, that's always the solution. The mirror on the outside of the bathroom door is a traditional fine solution to that. If you have a bathroom that's into the kitchen, you put a mirror on the outside of that. So the enemy's coming away from the bathroom. Now, if you don't hang a mirror, just like I showed you that copper pot or the plate, it's a reflective surface. So the energy's coming away from the bathroom, it's not being drawn toward it.
One more.
Yeah,
in some townhouses, the rooms are not rectangular or square. They have slanted walls.
Right.
Angle wall. How do you decorate?
Well, that's the part. How do you decorate them? Well, when you look at the Bhagwan, like I said, 2, 3, or 3 that was built today, that's a missing area. If that area is less than half the size of the room, it's covered in the Bhagwan. If it's not, it's just a missing area, and the best you can do is use the elements to accessorize properly to get around that. So if you're missing the wealth area, and I'm wondering what you can do, go look at your purple accent, use some other things to bring it back into the room. Yes.
Is there a reason why the toilet cover should be down?
Well, the theory is we're flushing fortunes away. There's water flowing down. So if you have a bathroom, you can talk about the kitchen. If you have a bathroom on the other side of your office, in feng shui, that's a bad thing, too.
One last one. I was trying to let other people, because I know that you have talked to me, but I had one other about a lot of homes, again, getting into these view homes in the back. You walk in the front door, and a lot of them have, you look in this front door, and it's beautiful lake view right out the back, and the French door is right on the other side. So you actually have I've been told that if you have a front door and a hallway that goes down to the doors out the back, that your wealth flows right out of the house. So... we run into a lot of that. How do you?
That's a screen to divide the rooms.
Well, if the purpose is to walk in a room and see the lake view, you don't want to put a decorative screen in the middle. So
you have to put something there, a large light plant. There has to be something there. It's very bad if you walk into the front door and you see all that. You're absolutely right. So you have to put something there to slow down the energy. So
even a plant to the side.
So I would go into the room where the kitchen window is and put something against the wall there, a fan or a screen.
I think the feng shui.
I think that'd be interesting if you send me your email.
I'll send you an email of the house.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think the feng shui organization should contact the builders and tell them not to give us so many problems because, they build houses and the stairs do come to the front door when they could just set it back a little further. Or, if you walk in the front door, you can straighten the kitchen. I mean, there's so many things that they do.
Windows everywhere and you don't have any room for furniture
anymore. Right. They need help.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you all very much.
Thank you very much.